चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। Chapter 5, The Activities of Sakshi Gopal. Padbyam chalanya pratima swarupo Brahmanya devo hishataha gamyam देशं ययौ विप्रकृतेद्भुतेहम् तं साक्षिगोपालमहं नटोऽस्मि।
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahmanyadev, who appeared as Sakshigopal to benefit a Brahman. Walking on his own legs, he travelled for 100 days through the country. Thus his activities are wonderful.
This is the opening verse of this chapter in which Kaviraj Goswami gives the entire pastime in this one verse. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityanand Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went further ahead. Actually, in the previous chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the temple of Kshirchor Gopinath. And from there, the journey is proceeding. So Mahaprabhu comes at a place called as Yajapur, where there is a temple of Varahadev. So there he offers obeisances to Varahadev and then he performs kirtan in the temple in front of Varahadev. And that day night he stays there. And it is described that after spending that night there, from that Yajapur, Mahaprabhu comes to the Katak. So at that time, Sakshi Gopal DT was there at Katak. Right now, actually, Sakshi Gopal DT is there, a place near Jagannath Puri, around, I think, 10-15 kilometers from Jagannath Puri. So that story also comes. When Mahaprabhu saw the DT of Gopal, he was very much pleased and he started chanting and dancing in front of the DT of Gopal for some time. Seventh verse. Sei ratri taharahi bhaktagana sange Gopalera purvakata shune bahurange
That night Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the temple of Gopal. And along with all devotees, he heard the narration of the witness Gopal with great pleasure.
So in the previous chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri, which he had heard from Ishwara Puri to his associates. In this chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually hearing the story of Sokshi Gopal from Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu previously, when he had traveled through the different holy places of pilgrimage, so that time he had come to Sokshi Gopal and he had heard the story of Sokshi Gopal from the town people. So Nityananda Prabhu is narrating. Chajapur, where is it? Where is it? Okay. Bindu Madhapur. Oh, acha. Okay. Che.
Sokshi Gopal DT, and then Cuttack was a capital city. There it was before, and again after when the actually Mughals and this English Britishers came, that time it shifted to near to Puri.
Jagannath Temple, and from Jagannath Temple.
Some says that this story happened in South India. This DT.
Yeah, this story. The story happened in South India, Vidyanagar.
This deed is being given as gift.
It comes in the later in the chapter. So ninth verse. Sakshi Gopale Rakata Shuni Loka Muke. Sei Kata Kahe Prabhu Shune Mahasuke.
At that time, Nityananda Prabhu had heard the story of Sakshi Gopal from the townspeople. He now recited this again, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the narration with great pleasure.
So here we see that Mahaprabhu took great pleasure in hearing this narration of Sakshi Gopal. So people, like the town people, when Nityananda Prabhu had come there previously, he heard the story from the people of the town of Sakshi Gopal. So generally, if you see that people in general, they need a sense of pride. They need a sense of identity. And as devotees, when we have that sense of pride towards Krishna or his devotees, then that is actually like that is better than instead of having a sense of pride with respect to something material. Like for materialistic people, they take pride when, say, suppose India wins say World Cup tournament or something, so they feel they have a sense of pride associated with that. But as devotees, like if we have the sense of pride, I'm connected with the Srila Prabhupada's movement, I'm coming from that place where the temple of Sakshi Gopal is there, or Jagannath temple is there, or Tirupati is there. So this sense of pride actually is connected with Krishna, that actually protects us. So here we see that the townspeople, that the people of the town of Sakshi Gopal, they have that identity connected with Sakshi Gopal. So they happily narrated a story to Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu heard the story, and then he is actually narrating this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, Prabhupada actually tells the this Sakshi Gopal deity previously it actually traveled from many places. We'll see. First, the deity was there in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan the deity came to Vidyanagar, and from Vidyanagar, Vrindavan the deity was there originally, and then because of the quarrel between the two brahmanas, the Sakshi Gopal deity came from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar, the banks of Godavari River. And then later, the king of Orissa, Purushottam Deva, when he actually conquered the that particular king of Vidyanagar, then he actually pleaded to Sakshi Gopal And then because Purushottam Dev is a great devotee of the Lord, the Sakshi Gopal actually agreed to his request. And then he brought the deity to Katak. And then it is described that from Katak, Katak actually the deity again, deity came to actually Jagannath temple. So when Sakshi Gopal was brought from Vidyanagar in South India, he stayed for some time in Katak. Thereafter, he was situated for some time in the Jagannath temple. So when he was there in the Jagannath temple, so when the pujaris would offer bhoga to the Supreme Lord, Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, and also to the Gopal deity. So, Baldevji, who complained? So, there was a quarrel between Jagannath deity and Sakshi Gopal. So, Jagannath deity complained to the pujaris, this Gopal is actually taking all the offerings. I am not getting my quota. So, there was a prema kalaha. There was a love quarrel. So, then... after the complaint by the Jagannath deity, then they decided to, the king decided to shift the Gopal deity to a place near Jagannath Puri. It's a village about 11 miles from Jagannath Puri. That village is called as Satyavadi, and Gopal was stationed there. So we can see like five places, from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar, from Vidyanagar to Katak, and from Katak to Jagannath Puri. From Jagannath Puri to Satyavadi. The five places where Gopal deity quarrel. So usually when there is a quarrel based on selfish interest, then both the parties actually suffer. But here there is a quarrel based on a transcendental platform, prema kalaha. This is actually a result of love quarrel. Then the result of love quarrel is that more people get benefited. Result of love quarrel is that there is one more temple. One more temple is created. That means like more people get benefited, more people get opportunity to worship the Lord, to actually to take shelter of the temple. This is the result of love quarrel. So now Nityananda Prabhu starts narrating the story. So there were two Brahmanas from Vidyanagar in South India. Vidyanagar is at the banks of the river Godavari. So once both of them went to see different places of pilgrimage. So they went to so many places, Kashi, Prayag, etc. Finally they came to Mathura. And then in Mathura, they were visiting the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So out of the 12 forests, 5 forests are situated on the eastern side of Yamuna. Badravan, Bilvavan, Lokavan, Bandirvan, Mahavan. 7 forests are situated on the western side of Yamuna. Madhuvan, Talvan, etc. So then Prabhupada says that after visiting all these 12 forests, they came to the Panchakroshi Vrindavan. So Panchakroshi Vrindavan is basically the... from the town of Vrindavan up to Nandagram and Varshana. So when they came to Vrindavan, so there, where the Govindadev temple is situated, so nearby there was a great temple of Gopal, which was like very gorgeous. So then these Brahmanas, they took bath in the different holy places like Keshi Ghat, Kaliya Ghat, and then they took rest in the temple. 15th verse. Gopala Saundarya Duhara Mana Nilahari Sukapana Rahitaha Dinadu Ichari.
The beauty of the Gopal deity stole away their minds, and feeling great happiness, they remained there for 2 or 4 days.
So, like, the darshan of the Supreme Lord completely stole away their minds. Like, was just reminded of this verse of Rukmini Devi. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatamte nirvishta karna vivarair haratonga tapam rupam drishi drishimatam akilartha labam twayachuta vishad chittam apatrapamme. Rukmini Devi says that my mind has been completely stolen about by hearing your qualities and by your beauty. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shinvatamte. And haratonga tapam means your beauty and your wonderful qualities completely remove the bodily distress, angatapam. So here the beauty of Gopal completely stole away their minds. So these two Brahmana, the young Brahmana was assisting the old Brahmana, and he rendered various services to the old Brahmana, and the old Brahmana was very pleased with him. Usually in old age, people have time to go to holy places, but many times, although a old person may have time to go to holy places, but the body does not allow to actually, body makes it difficult to travel to different holy places. So at that time, if somebody is there to assist, then the person becomes very much indebted. So the old Brahmana, because he got so much of assistance from the young Brahmana in traveling to different holy places, he felt so grateful to the young Brahmana, he wanted to actually do something to the young Brahmana. So 19th verse. Putre upitara aiche nakare sevana tomara prasade ami napailam dashrama.
Even my own son does not render such service. By your mercy, I did not become fatigued while on this tour.
Kritagnata hayatoma nakaile samana atayeva tomai ami divakanyadana.
If I do not show any respect, I would be ungrateful. Therefore, I promise you to give you my daughter in charity.
So here, this old Brahmana, he felt he wanted to do something. So he feels that I will give my daughter in charity to you. So you see that charity is usually given to a worthy person. Deshe kalecha patrecha taddanam satvikam smritam. Charity in mode of goodness is that you see the time, place and circumstances that the person is qualified. So the old Brahmana felt that this young Brahmana is a very suitable person to whom I can actually give my daughter in charity. And sometimes when they hear these verses, like where Kanya Dana, he felt that I want to give my daughter as charity. So sometimes in the modern context, people may see that means this person is considering a person as a property, as a thing. So one might get a notion that there's something like people sell their some slaves or some as a property and something like that. But one should not, sometimes people may misunderstand this as, oh, this is actually, this gives some kind of a dehumanizing picture. The old Brahmana was considering the daughter as if like a property or as if like a something to be given in charity. But actually it can also be considered in a way, it's a very affectionate way of saying that. It's a very affectionate way of address this one, that a person feels that the daughter has belonging to himself, and therefore he's feeling that, oh, I will give my daughter as charity. So it did not be seen in a dehumanizing way, but it should be seen in an affectionate way. The old Brahmana is considering the daughter as a very dear property, so therefore he wants to actually give the daughter in charity to the worthy recipient. So here So the young Brahmana is replying that actually such kind of a charity is completely unusual. It is never heard of and it is not possible. Such a thing has never happened previously, because the reason he gives is that, 22nd verse, Mahakulina tumi vidya danadi praveena Ami akulina ara dana vidyahina.
You are a most aristocratic family man, well educated and very rich. I am not at all aristocratic, and I am without a decent education and have no wealth.
So here he says that you see that both this old Brahmana and the young Brahmana, both are actually Brahmanas. But the young Brahmana is saying that Mahakulina, he is calling you are from a Mahakulina, but whereas I am is Ami Akulina. You are highly aristocratic. Akulina means I am not from a, as if you are from a great kul, but I am from actually very low kul, Akulina, and not aristocratic. So that means we can see that even within the Brahmana community also, there is so much of subcaste. So Brahmana, both of them, although they belong to the Brahmanas, it seems that there was actually a subcaste even within the Brahmana community. So especially when we see this Varnashram, so Varnashram is basically a tool for spiritual elevation. But when people, instead of using it as a tool for spiritual elevation, when people become self-centered, when people forget the purpose of Varnashram, then it results in more and more actually divisions. It results in more and more divisions. It results in more and more exploitation. So there is a, we can see that there is a inter-caste, there is inter-caste discrimination, that is between Brahmana and Kshatriya and Vaishya and Shudra. But there was also, it seems that there was an intra-caste discrimination within the Brahmana community, within the Kshatriya community. So basically, the problem is not with the system. The problem is with the forgetting the purpose of Varnashram. Problem is with having a selfish attitude and forgetting the purpose of Varnashram. So Varnashram is basically a tool for spiritual elevation. But when there is self-centeredness, when there is selfishness, when people forget the essence of Varnashram, then one uses the system for self-aggrandizement instead of using the system for spiritual elevation. So the problem is not with the system, but with the inner attitude of selfishness. Problem is with the attitude of selfishness or forgetting the essence of Varnashram. As I already gave the example, because the point in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to establish Varnashram, but at least we should understand theoretically, in the sense, people, suppose when there is somebody is having a kidney stone, the person is going to a doctor, and the doctor, he understands there is a kidney stone, and in order to solve the problem, he removes the kidney only. So by removing the kidney, so from one point of view, he has solved the problem, because there will no more kidney stones. But actually, he has created a much greater problem, because there is no kidney only now. It is going to create a much greater problem. So therefore, so the problem is that because of the division of society, there was a exploitation. People try to exploit the higher class, try to exploit the lower class. So that was a problem. So instead of addressing that particular problem, what is the actual cause of the problem, is basically forgetting the purpose of Varnashram. Instead of addressing that, if you remove the entire system, it leads to a much greater problem. So, anyway, so here, so the Brahmana is saying that Akulina.
Hare Krishna. In our marriage bureau in Pune, sometimes they also respect such kind of things amongst the parents. Like, you know, say there's a Punjabi girl, you know, and there's a South Indian boy, you know. Both are Hare Krishna devotees. And marriage bureau may sometimes feel that if they want to marry, parents agree we can marry. Sometimes parents don't agree, mainly because, you know, the culture is quite different, upbringing. For the boy and girl, it may not be a problem. They both are Hare Krishna devotees. But the sambandhis on either side, when they go to their house, even the girl, if she has to live with her in-laws, the whole culture in the home is different. So in order to not create awkward situation for them, they sometimes say that better to match people whose culture will be quite close to each other. In the same manner, if poor boy marries a rich girl, later on the rich girl, if she is not spiritually advanced, then she will always remember that my parents took better care of me and this fellow is not able to take good care. And that's one reason. And quarrels come between families of different economic status if they are not spiritually high. So sometimes they anticipating quarrel, people deny. Because they know that we can't be spiritually high. We are not so inclined in spiritual life. And naturally, we have tendency to see high, low, poor, rich, you know, educated, uneducated, all these things. So in order to avoid quarrel, they deny. So economic status is one of the prime considerations in marriages, sometimes even amongst devotees also, if the devotees are not very serious devotees. Like that. So when I read this section of this Brahmana saying this, You said about Brahmanas also, there are finer classes are there. It is a fact actually. But their behavior, their lifestyle is quite different, although both are Brahmanas. Like Prabhupada writes in one purport about different types of Brahmanas. This point came to my mind because from one point of view, it is self-aggrandizement, you know, because they are too much. From a spiritual point of view, it is self-aggrandizement. Because these differences are meaningless, you know, overemphasizing on this instead of using Varnashrama to elevate themselves. And from a social point of view, for those who are not spiritually advanced, these things may be necessary to keep law and order. Actually.
So there is a beautiful verse in the, I remember this verse in relation to this purport. The verse in the Subhashita, which says that Kanya Varayate Rupam Mata Vittam Pita Shrutam Bandava Kulam Ichanti Mishtanam Itarejana. So it is said that in a wedding, the bride desires a very handsome and a smart man. Kanya Varayate Rupam Mata Vittam. The mother of the bride desires a financially stable man who will take care of her daughter. And Pita Shrutam. The father actually desires a highly educated man. According to this verse, we can say that highly educated in the sense, good character person. Generally, educated man should be supposed to have good character person. Because this here this Brahmana is actually, he saw that this younger Brahmana is a person of good character, so therefore he actually chose him. And Bandava Kulam Ichanti. The relatives, they desire a man from a prestigious family. And Mishtannam Itare Jana. All other people simply desire to have a good feast in the wedding. So the point is that, you see that, like, why I'm quoting this verse is like different people, they are having different desires, they are having different considerations in choosing like a particular boy for the marriage, the girl is having a different consideration, the mother is having a different consideration, the father is having a different consideration. So the point is that suppose if the father is looking for an educated man or a good character person, but he may be poor, then definitely there will be a quarrel between the father and the mother. Huh. Or he may not be very good looking, so there may be quarrel between the father and the daughter. Huh. Or one may be very financially stable, but he may not be having good character or good education. There will be quarrel. Huh. So that's what is going to happen here. So here the elderly Brahmana, he found that this young Brahmana is a very good character person. He exhibited such good character and he felt that, oh, he is definitely a good person. He will very nicely take care of my daughter. So therefore he wanted to give his daughter in marriage. But the other people in the family, they are having completely different consideration. They want a person who is rich and aristocratic from a good family. So, and that's what we are going to see. And when Prabhupada writes just from the Bhagavatam purports, just few points about, or Prabhupada mentions about what should be the consideration in arranging, in choosing a boy, in choosing a suitable boy for the marriage of a girl. So Prabhupada says that, he quotes from the example of Swayambhu Manu giving his daughter Devahuti in marriage to Kardama Muni. So there he mentions the point that Kardama, Swayambhu Muni is such a great king. Kardama Muni was living in a hermitage. But because Swayambhu Manu saw the good character and good education and good culture in Kardama Muni, so he did not hesitate to give his daughter, who is from a very royal family, to Kardama Muni. So Prabhupada explains that the purport is that in offering one's daughter to a person, the culture and quality are counted as the prominent, not wealth or any other material consideration. So other things are there, but the most prominent consideration is the culture and qualities of the person is a devotee. So these things are the most prominent thing. And Prabhupada explains in another purport that purport is that a wife should not only be equal to her husband in age, character and qualities, but must be helpful to him in his household duties. It is a duty of the wife to take charge of household affairs and not to compete with the husband. A wife is meant to help, but she cannot help her husband unless he is completely equal to her in age, character and quality. So Prabhupada is writing this in regards to compatibility. So wife is not supposed to compete with the husband, she is supposed to help the husband, but even to help the husband, she cannot help the husband unless the husband is equal to her in age, quality and character and quality. So in choosing a boy, Prabhupada mentions that the quality and character and the culture of the person are the most prominent considerations. Wealth and other things are secondary things. They are material consideration. And in regards to choosing a girl from the boy's side, the main, the most important consideration is the quality of chastity from the girl. So that's what Prabhupada writes in regards to. There were many considerations by Kardama Muni before accepting the daughter of Swayambhu Manu, but the most important is that Devahuti had first of all fixed her mind on marrying him, and she did not choose to have any other man as her husband. So this is some points about Prabhupada explains that. So here, so Prabhupada explains the culture, the culture which was prevalent there. In India, it is still current for an aristocratic family never to consider a marriage with a common family. Though the caste may be the same, to maintain the aristocracy, such marriages are rejected. So therefore, this young Brahmana is actually saying that it is unheard of. 23rd verse. kanyadana patra ami nahai tomara krishna priti kari tomar seva vyavahara
sir I am not a suitable bridegroom for your daughter I render service to you only for the satisfaction of krishna
so here this young brahmana when he was serving the old brahmana he didn't even have any desire in his mind of expecting something from the old brahmana in the form of marrying his girl or some other money or something he said that I just served you only to please krishna so Prabhupada writes this in the purport that how krishna is pleased when a person serves his devotee more than when a person serves him directly it is better to be a servant of the servant of the lord one should not try to serve krishna directly a pure vaishnava serves a servant of krishna and identifies himself as a servant of krishna and this is pleasing to lord krishna chardiya vaishnava seva nistare payache keba so there is this beautiful verse from the mukunda mala stotra मज्जन्मनफलमिदं मधुकैतबारे मदप्रार्थनीय मदनुग्रहयेशयेव त्वद्वृत्य वृत्य परिचारक वृत्य वृत्य वृत्यस्य वृत्य इति मां स्मर लोकनाथ किंग कुलशेखर प्रेज दैट I consider my birth to be successful if you accept me as the servant of the servant of the servant of servant of your devotees he uses the word brithya 7 times in that verse so in that purport Satsurup Maharaj says that like it is not that king kulashekar has used this word brithya 7 times just to make it a rhyming poetry just to make it so that it sounds very nicely he says that it is actually the accurate description of the guru parampara it's not just to mention so many times just to make it a rhyming poetry he says why a devotee actually prays to be a servant of the lord and not directly the servant of the lord the reason is that so he Satsurup Maharaj mentions 4 points one reason is that when a person tries to be a servant or servant of the supreme lord then such a person experiences greater pleasure than directly serving the lord so he says that the manjaris who assist radha and krishna they experience a happiness even greater than shrimati radharani and the second point he explains is that because a devotee is ultimately concerned is about pleasing krishna and he understands that krishna is most pleased when I serve his devotee than when I serve him directly so therefore a devotee aspires to be a servant or servant of the devotees than to be a servant of krishna directly and the third point why a devotee actually prays to be a servant of devotees is that because krishna does not award his personal service unless a person has served his devotee so therefore one prays to be a servant of devotees and the fourth point he says is that or the fourth reason we can say is that because a devotee is naturally humble he feels that oh how can I aspire for such a position of directly serving krishna so therefore let me just be a servant of krishna so these are the 4 points he explains yeah. 24th verse brahmana sevaya krishnera priti badahaya तहार संतोषे भक्ति संपद बड़
Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to Brahmanas. And when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases.
This purport is a very important purport. So here, Prabhupada gives a reason, why did this Lord actually agree to be a witness in this particular story? So you have to understand, the Lord agreed to be a witness not to prove his supreme position. Not to prove his supreme position, but the real reason why he agreed to be a witness is that because the Lord was actually pleased by the attitude of service rendered by the younger Brahmana to the older, elderly Brahmana. The Lord agreed to, because the younger Brahmana served the older one, the Lord Gopal agreed to become a witness of the marriage negotiation in order to maintain the prestige of both the devotees, the elderly Brahmana and the younger Brahmana. And also, you see that, like, externally this story appears to be like a some quarrel and some marriage dispute. So if it is just simply a story and marriage dispute, hey, why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want to hear such a story? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would certainly not have liked to hear about marriage dealings unless such dealings were exchanged between two Vaishnavas. So generally, marriage comes under the category of karma kanda activity. So karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishera banda. Narottam Das Thakur says that karma kanda, jnana kanda, they are parts of poison. But here, this particular marriage story, it is basically a transaction, dealings between two pure Vaishnavas here. And then Prabhupada takes the purport to another level and he says that although the karma kanda, like marriage, is coming to the category